You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have Bob Moriarty with me once again. He is one of our most colorful, smart, and out-of-the-box thinking guests. He is always have a great response. People really love to hear what Bob has to say. Controversial at times, but always his own thoughts. Very independent and a guy that I've really learned to appreciate his talents and insights. So, Bob, thank you so much for joining me again.
Well, it's certainly, we live in interesting times, but I'm shocked that you said I'm controversial. I thought I was very run-of-the-mill.
Well, run-of-the-mill maybe in among our group, among gold bugs, but I don't know of too many people that have flown an aircraft underneath the Eiffel Tower, so I don't know. You make life exciting, Bob. No doubt about that. And your articles at 321 Gold, and I should tell people, if you're not familiar with 321 Gold, you need to be. Every day there's great articles there, and there's a lot of good companies that you can learn about, some of which are sponsors to this show. And we might get to ask Bob about a couple of them if we have time. So I've titled today's show, Putin Plays America's Fake Money Game, Bob, and this is what I sort of really want to focus the show on. But I'd like to call our listeners' attention to an interview that you did, I think, mid-March. You noted that the Ukrainian war isn't really about the Ukraine. Can you share your thoughts about what it really is about with our listeners?
Well, what it's really about is an attack by the United States and NATO on Russia. Mm-hmm. And it's been 30 years in the making. The administration makes no bones about it. They intend to destroy Russia. And Putin knew this. Okay, mm-hmm. So the mainstream media and the narrative is Putin bad, Ukraine good. Uh-huh. And it's absolute rubbish. I've got dozens of articles written about the corruption in Ukraine and the danger of the right-wing neo-Nazis, who really, truly are monsters. And what you're reading in the newspapers is absolute rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's if we go back a little bit, I believe it was with the fall of the Soviet Union, the United States had promised, or the NATO had promised, Russia that NATO would not annex the Eastern European countries that fell with the Soviet Empire. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you've got it more or less right. James Baker was the ambassador for the United States at the negotiations. It took place in 1990. And for the German reunification of East Germany and West Germany, Russia and the United States sat down, the UK was part of it, and the United States agreed that they would not move one inch to the east with NATO if Russia agreed, not Russia, the USSR at the time, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. if the USSR agreed for the reunification of Germany. Now, the United States lied. They brought in 13 countries since then. Mm-hmm. They're talking about bringing in Sweden and Finland now, and they make mm-hmm. no bones about it. They have no intention whatsoever of allowing Russia to compete with the United States economically. And that's the most, it's probably the dumbest geopolitical move I have ever seen in history. Mm-hmm. Why, if your next-door neighbor is nuclear-armed, why would you go threaten him? Let's say you burn his house down and you poison his dog. What is the last thing he's going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's going to nuke you.
Yeah.
Okay. We are threatening nuclear war, and that is utter insanity. Let me ask you a question. You're always asking me questions. It's time for me to ask you a question. How much do you care about who runs Ukraine?
Not too much, frankly.
Okay. I don't know anybody who cares. I never met anybody who cares. The Ukraine is a cesspool. It's corrupt. The United States spent $5 billion, okay, from 1990 until the coup d'etat in 2014. Biden's talking about spending another $33 billion to arm Ukraine. And, of course, you just have to wonder, does the big guy get his 10% of the $33 billion? Mm-hmm. So Pelosi's children were in the Ukraine. John Kerry's children were in the Ukraine. Joe Biden's son was in the Ukraine and its brother. And what they were doing is they were recycling the money. It's so dirty that I just can't believe they thought they were going to get away with it.
Well, it seems they have. Reports about all of that were, of course, not allowed to be told prior to the election. It's all about what the people believe and what they're told. As you said, Putin bad, Ukraine good, as if it's just a clear-cut issue. Of course, life is never quite as simple as that. I'm just wondering, you ask, why would we do that? And I just keep coming back to President Eisenhower's concern about the military-industrial complex. And I'm wondering, Bob, why the people that are running our country would want to have peace in the Ukraine. I don't see any reason why they would want to.
Well,
there's no monetary. Look at the billions of dollars that we're pumping in there. Now we find out we can't make Stinger missiles fast enough to supply them to Taiwan because of fear of the Chinese attacking Taiwan. I mean, this is a cash cow for somebody. Billions and billions and billions of dollars in the military-industrial complex. Why on earth, if you look at all these large corporations that are making tons of money building war materials, why on earth would those folks ever want to have peace? I mean,
Jay, there's a much more important issue that everybody is skipping. Do you happen to recognize the name Frédéric Bastiat, the French communist?
Yeah, I know of him. Yes, of course, as a Austrian school or free market advocate.
Yeah, exactly. And strange enough, he lived about 50 miles from where I live right now.
Uh-huh.
And he had a quote. He said, "When goods don't cross borders, soldiers will."
Uh-huh.
And I want to point something out to you, and it's very important for your listeners to understand. Why is it that you don't destroy your enemy in a war?
Why is it that you don't destroy? Because you need them.
Exactly. I mean, great point. Do you recognize the impact that the Treaty of Versailles had on causing World War II?
Yeah, of course. It put Germany in a box and no way out, essentially. They trapped them in there. And then hyperinflation was the result, ultimately.
Well, not hyperinflation. World War II was a result. I remember watching a TV show years ago, and they were testing an old woman. And, of course, an old woman is anybody that's older than me, because if you're older than me, you're really old. They were testing the logic of this old woman to see whether she was out of it or not. I mean, if you want to see somebody out of it, watch a Biden press conference. But they ask her what was the cause of World War II. Mm-hmm. And she looked up at him with a sweet little old lady smile. She said, World War One. And they said, no, we're not talking about World War One. We're talking about World War Two. What caused World War Two? Mm-hmm. And she said, World War One. And he said, "No, you don't understand, lady. You must be crazy." Yeah. And she said, "No, the French and the English put such onerous demands on the Germans in the Treaty of Versailles that it bankrupted Germany, gave them a constitutional crisis and a revolution, and directly led to Hitler taking office, and that caused World War II. And of course, she was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Now, for the United States, who just got booted out of Afghanistan, I was in the military for 6 years.
I
would be really embarrassed if some goat herder kicked my butt. But the United States isn't embarrassed. We didn't have any generals who were fired. Everybody got to keep their jobs. The military-industrial complex made lots of money. So we couldn't beat goat herders in Afghanistan by spending $2.3 trillion. We left $8 billion in weapons for the Taliban, but we think we could take Putin on. What are these guys smoking?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, the purpose is not to end wars. In my way of thinking, the generals, as you say, they kept their jobs, and the wheels of commerce for the military-industrial complex kept turning, I think. So that's the way I see it anyway, Bob. I want to, you know, we've had people with regard to the sanctions, because I want to get to this issue of Putin requiring payment in rubles and gold. David Stockman, Alistair MacLeod, Ellen Brown, recently on my show, all of them opined that these sanctions are going to hurt the United States much worse than they hurt Putin. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. I wrote an article the day they came out sanctions, and I said the EU and the United States just committed financial suicide. Mm-hmm. I literally was the first guy to write about that, the first guy to recognize it. Here's the key. When you're doing trade with anyone, I don't care if you're buying gold from a gold supplier, whether you go down to the store to buy a quart of milk, or whether you fill your car with gas, who benefits in the exchange?
Mm-hmm.
Who? Tell me.
I my mind had gone somewhere else. I missed the question. I was looking at my next question.
Here's the deal. Decide you want to buy some gold, and I'm going to sell the gold to you. So we have a transaction. Who benefits?
Both.
Of course. You cannot have a transaction unless you have a willing buyer and a willing seller.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, let me point something out to you that nobody else is pointing out. Now, the real danger is not to the United States directly immediately. Mm-hmm. It's to the EU. I sent you a quote, an article about how Bulgaria and Poland have used to pay for oil and natural gas in rubles, so Russia cut them off. Now, one of the things that's exceptionally important, and I can't believe nobody picked up on it, what have you heard about Germany not paying in rubles?
We haven't heard too much.
No. You know why?
Because
they aren't paying in rubles. Okay, here's what's totally insane. The country that gets 45% of its natural gas from Russia, it's still at natural gas. And what nobody's figured out, the only way they could be getting that natural gas is if they were paying in rubles. So you have this absurd situation where Germany is actually supplying military equipment to Ukraine and supporting Ukraine, but their economy is based on natural gas from Russia. And if Russia shuts off gas and oil to the EU, you might as well shut the EU down. They will close the doors a week later. That's very important. And to the extent, and you already answered the question, who gives a damn about Ukraine? I don't care. Nobody I know cares. You don't care. Why is the United States taking a position in Ukraine where it's not in our best interest, and it's absolutely against our best interest?
Well, I mean, I certainly care to a certain extent about the suffering that's going on. The people of the Ukraine are being sacrificed for this bigger geopolitical.
Hang on. Which people? You mean the 14,000 Ukrainians in eastern Ukraine that have
No,
been
no, no, no.
over the last 6 years, and nobody shed a goddamn tear?
That
nobody's
is true.
Waving flags, nobody's sending goodie packages to them. Nobody cared about the people that were killed in Donbass, and Donbass is part of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
The
sure.
Ukrainians were killing Ukrainians. Nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
Putin
yeah.
comes in, and he has legitimate complaints. One is he wanted the United States to honor the written agreement they made 30 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he wanted Ukraine to honor the written agreement they made at Minsk II in 2015.
Right.
And
right.
had
right.
they done that, there would be no war. Putin did not start this war. The United States did, and the United States is continuing it on behalf of the military-industrial complex, and he's fighting a nuclear-armed state. That's
yeah.
insanity.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to explain, that's for sure. Alistair MacLeod made the point on this show, I think maybe on another show as well, about he thinks that Putin's design here, or what his goal is to separate the United States from Europe. And it would seem to be that would make some sense in terms of what you're saying. Also, that Putin sees three markets for his production, for his natural gas and oil production. And he has all kinds of other natural resources as well that he should be able to sell to the world if we would allow him to. He's got to be selling his gas to these countries. What is Germany going to do? I mean, if they don't get the constant, as you just pointed out, if they don't constantly get their natural gas from Germany, the wheels of industry shut down and the people freeze to death in the winter, right? So isn't Europe going to have to go along with Putin, or how do you see it?
Yeah, of course they are. That's what everybody's ignoring. Rather than saying, hey, wait a minute, why don't we listen to this guy? Why don't we pay attention? Is he asking for reasonable things? And if he is asking for reasonable things, why don't we do them?
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, we could starve and freeze to death. I wonder which way we should go.
Yeah, right. Right. And I mean, you see the economics aspect of this, and clearly the United States has used its privilege of having the world's reserve currency, creating endless trillions of dollars out of thin air, the financialization of the global economy. And it seems to me that what Putin is doing, and what to an extent they and the Chinese are doing, are forcing us back to a more realistic outlook on the world. That is, that money can't be just created out of thin air. It has to have something behind it. And it's sort of the commoditization of money, it seems to me, what Putin is sort of forcing here. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are two financial systems at work right now. One is the debt-based system of the United States and the EU, and the other is the commodity gold oil financial system based on real commodities and real production. So Putin is smart enough to understand that the United States system and the United States dollarization, it's end of empire, and that's absolutely true. So he's offering the world an alternative. Let me give you a number that will really shock you. Do you have any idea of how many of the 195 countries in the world support the sanctions?
There were a lot that didn't, I remember, that remained neutral in the UN vote, but I can't remember the numbers.
Okay, there's 195 countries, 30 mm-hmm. countries support the United States. Now, what is 30 from 195?
165.
You got it. 165 countries in the world do not support the U.S. sanctions. The really strange thing is that we've got some bizarre things that are going to happen this year. I wonder if there's going to be an election in November, because mm-hmm. if there is an election and the Democrats are defeated as seriously as I think they're going to be, the very first action the Republicans are going to take in January is to impeach Biden. They will hold the impeachment at 12:05, and they'll vote. The Senate will vote to convict at about 12:15. He will go to jail along with his son and his brothers.
Wow. Well, that's I mean, I could understand, you know, if the world were the way it ought to be, if truth and justice were maybe based on what I believe I know, certainly not what we're supposed to hear and talk about. Bob, I'm not sure if YouTube's going to let me air this or not, because, you know, but you think with 2 minutes left here, we gotta talk some more in the future, because there's so much that we haven't even begun to talk about. The implications for investors on all of this. I mean, that's a topic for a whole show. So I mean, what should people be doing now with 2 minutes left?
Okay, I'll give you the short, quick, and easy. I have been predicting a massive stock and bond market crash for years. It is here right now. Between 1929 and 1932, the Dow Jones went down 89%.
Yes.
That's going to occur again. It has already started. In the period from 1929 to 1932, there were numerous dead cat bounces. It's a very dangerous time to be investing. Mm-hmm. The stock market's going to get creamed. The bond market's already been creamed. You could certainly see it in the resource market, with the resource markets get sold off because people get margin calls. We could have another 2008 or 2015. However, if we do, remember, the market went up tenfold from there.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. We'll have to leave it go at that, Bob. A lot more to talk about, and we'll look to do it again sometime soon. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, sharing your time from France. Always good to have you.
Okay. All right. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. All right, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, Alistair McLeod, Michael Oliver, and Dr. Quentin Henning join me. Quentin will be with us to talk about El Oro Resources. By the way, I know that's a company that Bob likes a lot, and he writes about it from time to time at 321 Gold. Until next week, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.